This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast, sponsored by The Church of God International. Today I want to spend time talking with you from the heart. Not that that doesn't happen with all of us who appear on the armor of God, but I'm expecting something from you today. No, not your money or possessions, but a response towards a subject that we have discerned and delivered here many times on this broadcast. It concerns the Sabbath day. Now, I've given programs about this where I came on and said, "Do I look like a legalist to you?" And many times when you deal with the issues of the commandments of God and deal with the Sabbath and holy days, which we frequently do here on the Armor of God, people will categorize you and label you a legalist. That is, they assume that because we teach those things, that we teach that you can get into the kingdom of God merely by works. And nothing could be further from the truth. We do not suggest, for instance, that keeping the commandments will earn you something in relationship to God. All it does, really, is indicate where your heart is at, if I can use that prepositional disparity there. It determines, God can analyze where you stand by what you do. Now, many of you teach that, well, you know, all I do is just love the Lord. Just show your love for the Lord and for His creation and for His people. That's all you have to do. But you see, that's a trip. That's a tactic that Satan would use to try to confound the issue. The fact of the matter is that the law of God is a law of love. It's a love towards Him and a love towards His humanity or His creation, if you will. And we are responsible to respond to it and embedded right in the Ten Commandments, those popular Ten Commandments that we like to talk about nowadays, here in America in particular. We want to tack them up in public places. We want them taught in our public schools. We want them in courthouses. But what about that fourth commandment? Did it get changed somewhere along the way? Now, in times past, I've shared with you that one minister, leading minister in the East Texas area, presented to his congregation, a very large Baptist church there, he presented to them the fact, and he says, some of this is going to disturb many of you, because some of you assume that Sunday is the Christian Sabbath. But he said, point blank, it is not. I was stunned, I was shocked in hearing such an admission by a Sunday observer. He went on to declare to them that Saturday, that is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, is the Sabbath of the Bible. Now that's quite an admission. Now already I've got you enticed to take a look at this issue. Perhaps you are a new viewer to the armor of God. Perhaps you're an old viewer who has not responded to the material that we've offered. So let me just say a word about two tapes that we are providing for you absolutely free of charge today. One is entitled by Bill Watson, Who Changed Saturday to Sunday? We have been born into a world that's already in existence. And one of the things that I learned early on was that you go to church on Sunday. It was like pulling hen's teeth for me to reconcile the reality of what the scriptures say to what traditionally has been done. In fact, the other tape is entitled by me, A Sabbath Forever. Both of these tapes can be yours absolutely free when you dial toll-free to 1-888-578-8791. And you will receive both of these sermon-length tapes that will give you great insight into the whole subject that I just don't have enough time here to deliver to you here on the Sabbath question. But getting back to this idea that Saturday or Friday sundown to Saturday sundown is something that should be observed, well, it goes against the grain. Look at it. Thousands, millions of people go to church on Sunday. But even among those churches, there is a movement that I have discerned where they will have Saturday services at least around 6:30, 7 o'clock. And you know, just by accident, especially during the summer months, they wind up worshiping on the true Sabbath of the Bible. I just scratched my head about that the other day. And these are rather large churches. They try to accommodate people who perhaps work on Sunday, so they have a Saturday service that in the summer months when the days are longer, just happen to coincide with the Sabbath. And I know that many of the preachers that you listen to and the churches that you attend know the truth concerning the Sabbath. So here we are, we beat our gums, we bring great difficult subjects to you, challenging subjects. And here's how some people respond. Let me share this letter with you just for a moment. Now, the letter was actually, it's an email that was sent actually in response to a program we did on Halloween. But the principle is still intact. Whether we do it on Christmas or any of the holidays versus God's holy days and versus His Sabbath day, this is kind of a typical response from those who are just dug in. And I hope you're not one of those people because I want you to undig yourself. I want you to unshackle yourself from the traditions all around you and step into the light of God's Word. Here's what this gentleman says. I find it rather disturbing that you, who claim to preach the truth, would support so many falsehoods in your broadcast. And there are many of you, I can just see the images of various preachers and big entities, names you would recognize in a heartbeat if I were to mention them. And they would say, well, he's just all wet. Those guys on the armor of God, they're just legalists. They're just trying to encumber you again to be under the law, not even understanding these people who say that, what it means to be under the law. See, they won't explain to you that means to be under the penalty of the law. And to break the law requires death. That's the penalty, death. But when you are out from under the penalty of the law, death, you have life. But it doesn't mean that the law was done away with, you see. That means the fourth commandment is still intact. But this gentleman thinks that we're espousing great falsehoods. He says, you've chosen an article in an encyclopedia that was written quite some time ago and is universally regarded by anthropologists and archaeologists as being terribly inaccurate. That's exactly what some people would say about our position regarding the Sabbath. It's not accurate. There's something wrong about it. After all, every day can be the Sabbath day. Now, that's about as ridiculous as anything could be said. You can go from kiver to kiver, as they used to say down south. In my growing up, I was born in Columbus, Georgia, you know, kiver to kiver, cover to cover. From Genesis to Revelation, you can search and hunt all you want, word by word. And there's only one day that is named in the Scriptures. It's the Sabbath day. That's its name. All the other days are called first day, second day, all the days that we've inherited from paganism, from the Roman and Greek calendar, which is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so forth, all named after mythological gods, by the way. Monday is for the moon. You know, Fry is for the fish god, I think it was, which is why the Roman church thought they would have fish on Fridays. Saturday is actually named after Saturn. So all of these days, Sunday, obviously, the day of the sun, these are all paganistic names. But in the Bible, the only day that's named is the Sabbath day. Now, what are you going to do with that? How are you going to justify the idea that every day can be the Sabbath? No, it cannot. Only one day. So this gentleman goes on to say, it would have taken very little time indeed for you to have done some research into the subject, like the Sabbath, for instance, but then you would have encountered facts that run counter to the sensationalist tone of your segment. Now, many people would say, these are guys, they're just sensationalizing the Sabbath question. Sensationalizing it? We're just taking God at His word. Because He said the fourth day should be hallowed. How did it become unhallowed and unholy? When it becomes just a run-of-the-mill, every day of the week kind of idea. Where did that happen? Bill Watson's tape will tell you who changed Saturday to Sunday. That's why you need to make that toll-free call to receive that free material. This man concludes by saying, I was, however, under the impression that Christians are supposed to research with due diligence to ensure that they do not, quote, bear false witness, end quote. Is that what I'm doing? I'm challenging you to show me how in the world I can bear false witness, because we're going to go to the scriptures here in a moment. And you can read with your own eyes in your own Bible exactly what it says. Not what your preacher said about it, not what the theological seminaries or cemeteries tell you about it, because, see, they're all in league with the God of this world. And the God of this world is Satan the devil, and the book of Revelation 12 and verse 9 says he has deceived the whole world. My friends, you were born deceived. You were born into a deceived circumstance, and you just soaked it right up, just like I did. You know, I didn't question my mother about going to church on Sunday until I reached an age of accountability when I realized there were some things that I was reading in the Bible that didn't jive with the traditions of the church to which I was attending. Now, I'm just suggesting that many of you are in the same boat. And how do you get out of that boat into a boat that matters? This gentleman says, your program seems to indicate that this is not the case, that is, you bear false witness. It does, however, make suspect any of the claims you make regarding the, quote, truth, end quote. Well, I hope that you're not going to take such a position. I hope you're going to actually look in the Bible. For instance, in Genesis, the second chapter. This is the first introduction to the subject of the seventh day, Sabbath. Let's look at it. It says, thus the heavens and the earth are finished and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had made. And, verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. How do you unsanctify something that God sanctified? How does that happen? Do you find in the Bible any place where God says, you know, I was kind of off base when I made those Israelites to honor the Sabbath day? You know, yeah, it was important. I told them, you know, that everything in their household, everything in their inhabitation and all of that would have to hallow the Sabbath and observe it and to keep it. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath unto the Lord. You shall not do any work, and your manservant, maidservant, your ox, your ass, everybody has the Sabbath off, right? So when did he change that? Can you show me that anywhere in the Bible? You can't. So from creation, it was hallowed and sanctified. So by the time we come up to Jesus Christ in that period of time, let's ask ourselves some questions. Did Jesus observe the Sabbath? Well, yeah, he did. It says, like in Luke 4. Let's just turn over there. I don't want to mislead you and you say, well, I don't know if that really says it there. Well, let's just turn there. Jesus went home one day in Luke 4 and verse 16 to visit his region around Nazareth. It says in verse 16 in chapter 4 of Luke, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, all right, hometown. And as his custom was, now a custom, you could use the word tradition, you could use the word regimen, a habit, those words would work. As his habit was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now, many of you are already asking the question, well, how can you prove what day is the seventh day? Hasn't time been lost somewhere along the way, or have we got it all confused? Let me just say this to you. One of the things that the Jews are very good about is establishing their history. And their tradition is that the Sabbath is something that's not only observable now and into the future, but you can track your way all the way back and see the cycle of 7 days. And with computers nowadays, that's not a problem. Losing time, you can't possibly lose time. You can figure it out. So there's no confusion that whether Sunday kind of became the seventh day, no. Even though you can manufacture a calendar to that effect, Saturday is still the seventh day. Always has been and always will be. So here is Jesus, as his custom was, going into a synagogue on the Sabbath day to worship. That's interesting. Here is the one who was going to change it. That's what some people allege, right? He's going to change the Sabbath to Sunday. Or is he? You don't find him changing it. Well, okay, all right, you say Jesus only did that because that's where the crowds were, right? That's the only reason he went in there to declare the beginning of his ministry, right? All right, let's go over to Acts, the 13th chapter. These are some scriptures I've used before, but I feel led now to just kind of reiterate them. The 13th chapter of the book of Acts. Now, let's say something about the book of Acts. See, when we say the book of Acts, we don't use its entire title. It's talking about the Acts of the Apostles. That is, the first century church. What did they do? What were their traditions? What were their habits? Did they have a habit of going to church on Sunday? Oh, no, they didn't. And don't even drag out that old iron horse called 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. Don't even try it. Here's why. That is not talking about a worship service. When the saints come together, make sure that their offerings on the first day of the week has nothing to do with Sabbath or Sunday observance. It's about taking up a collection. Sunday is a work day, you know, the first day of the week. So that when Paul came by, he could take the offering for those who were in distress in Jerusalem because of a famine. That's what it's talking about. But many churches have printed on their envelopes, you know, first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. That is dishonest exegesis. Absolutely. And many of you preachers know it. So I don't know if you can even trust the guy as far as you can throw him if he's going to be mishandling the scriptures in such a way. But be that as it may, let's take a look at the Apostle Paul. See what he did. Acts, the 13th chapter and verse 14. And by the way, when I used this passage before, a gentleman wrote me back and says, just what I said about Jesus going into the synagogue on the Sabbath as his custom was, this man said to me, well, that's where the crowds were. That's why Paul did this. Well, let's read this. When they departed from Perga and went down to Antioch to Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. In other words, they were invited to speak, Paul and his companion. Now, Paul stood up in verse 16, beckoning with his hands, and said, men of Israel, and you that bear God, that fear God, give audience. So they listened to his presentation on the Sabbath day. And he went through in great detail to talk about what God's plan was and how he worked with Abraham and how he worked all the way. He worked through Moses. He worked through different entities all the way through the time of Jesus Christ coming to the earth. And remember, the core of the gospel is about Jesus Christ and his rulership, not only now in our lives, but also his rulership within the world that is to come. All of this is very important. Now, as we consider this passage here in the book of Acts in chapter 13, something happened in verse 38. Well, let's see. No, let's go down to verse 44. That's very important. And the next Sabbath day came the whole city together to hear the word of God. Now, I jumped over something here purposely. There they were in verse 14, meeting on the Sabbath. Paul going into the synagogue because, as this gentleman who wrote in response to this issue said to me, well, that's where the people were. But let's back up. Verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, so this is just not a Jewish thing, the Gentiles, that is, those who were of other nations, besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Oh, what? Wait a minute, Paul. I'm going to have to call Paul up on charges here because he just blew it, according to the book of Acts. Instead of saying to these Gentiles, you're not Jews. We don't have to wait 7 days to come back on the Sabbath because the Sabbath is just a day. It doesn't matter. Sunday can be a Sabbath, Paul could have said, if he was of that conviction. But he doesn't do that. He does not say to them, for instance, which he could have said, we don't have to wait. Why don't we just come back tomorrow on the Lord's Day? Now, the gentleman who wrote me in response to this said, well, people have to work. I thought to myself, isn't that a hoot? That's amazing to me that a person would have such a response. Well, you know, people have to work. Right, because Sunday is a work day. It's the first day of the week. But they do not work on the Sabbath if it's important to them. And even Gentiles had knowledge of the Sabbath day, friends. not just the Jews. So what we find here is they make a suggestion. We want to hear what you've got to say. If the Jews don't want to hear it, we want to hear what you have to say, Paul. Verse 43. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And as a result of it, then verse 44 says, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. You could go through the book of Acts, chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17, and see clearly that the Sabbath was an observable situation. It was a preponderant idea among the people of that day who were engaged within the church. No, you can't trot out that scripture in Revelation 1 and verse 10 talking about the Lord's Day and try to convince me that it has some reference to Sunday. It has no connection whatsoever. In fact, if you want to know about the Lord's Day, not only is it talking prophetically about the future events that will unfold in the day of the Lord, it's also declaring exactly what Jesus said in Mark 2. I am also Lord of the Sabbath day. If you want to label a day the Lord's Day, you better deal with the Sabbath. So here we are. Here we are in this adventure, trying to determine what you're going to do about it. See, I've already made my decision. I made my decision, 1966, to be an observer of the Sabbath day. Here it is, 2002, and I'm not backing up from it, not one whit. I'm inviting you to do something about your conviction. Because I know that many of you have thought, yeah, I think he's right about this Sabbath day, but I'll lose so many friends. I'll lose so many contacts, and my family won't understand me. And all those people I go to church with on Sunday will look at me kind of funny, and especially my pastor and my preachers, my teachers, those people who I've looked to guide me. And I question them on this, and they say, oh, those worldwide people, those Church of God international people, all those Sabbath-keeping people, including the Seventh-day Adventists, you know, they don't have a clue. We like them. They're okay, but they're just misguided. Is that the fact? Can you look at the Scriptures and discern whether or not that is a fact? I'm suggesting to you that you take time to pick up your Bible. And as we often say on this program, pick it up. Blow that dust right off of it, because you know it's just something you put on your coffee table. It's amazing how many Bibles are available in hotels where so much sin goes on, but then that's why the Bible, I guess, is up in the drawer. You know, you don't have to be confronted with this reality. Just the same way with the Sabbath day. Time has not been lost. Time has not been changed. Just as it was in Genesis, so shall it be in the book of Revelation. The Sabbath is in place. Now, here's what I often say to people. Look, you can't have it both ways. I've cited two scriptures that declare something about God, Yahweh, and something about Jesus Christ. In Malachi, it tells you this. I am Yahweh, the Lord. I change not. And yet there are theologians by the boatload coming along and saying, well, you know, God changed the Sabbath. I change not. Does it mean what it means? Does it mean what he says, or is it something else? Now, over in the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse 8, there's a statement made there concerning Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Now, is that true or not? You cannot keep quoting those scriptures to talk about the constancy of God and somehow extract the fourth commandment out of those things which he spoke with his voice on the mount. And then have the audacity to not write them once, but twice on tables of stone. Friends, it is in concrete that the Sabbath is in place. Now, what are you going to do about it? You've watched this program. You know that Charles, Vance, Bill, and myself have been committed to this subject. We've all spoken on it at one time or another. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to make a decision for Christ and for his will and his way and not be caught up in all of the man-made traditions that's all around you? I suggest that you take time to make the decision. Call toll-free to receive these two tapes, absolutely free of charge. One, Who Changed the Sabbath to Sunday? And the other, A Sabbath Forever, both are yours when you dial 1-888-578-8791. Stop by the website also at www.cgi.org. Until next time, I'm Bronson James for the Armor of God, reminding you to put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand.
You know, Bronson has shown today that Sabbath keeping is erroneously accused of legalism. Of all things people today think and accuse Jesus Christ of nailing the fourth commandment to the cross and thereby doing away with the Sabbath. And yet you've heard us say time and again, over and over, that Jesus, he never kept a Sunday in his life. He always kept Sabbath. I mean, he was Jewish. You know that as well as I do. As a matter of fact, he even stated, as Bronson had mentioned in the telecast, that he was the Lord of the Sabbath and that he would attend Sabbath services on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, there are scriptures, as was pointed out in the telecast, that illustrate it was his custom, that it was his tradition, it was his habit, as what was shown in the scriptures. And very simply, I mean, he always, Jesus Christ, that is, did things on the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, he purposely used the Sabbath to illustrate how the Sabbath ought to be kept, as opposed to some of the erroneous laws of legalism, of which many of the Jewish folks at that time had attached to Sabbath keeping. So the fact is, you know, what are we then led to believe regarding the Sabbath? Well, we're hopeful, my friends, that you'll make a decision to stop keeping Sunday. I mean, it's that simple. The fact is you need to get the tapes that we're offering here. You need to dial 888-578-8791 and get these two tapes, Sabbath Forever by Bronson James and Who Changed Saturday to Sunday. Both of these tapes will help you to begin to understand why the Sabbath is still very contemporary, still very current, and still very requiring upon Christians today. Jesus never did away with any Sabbath keeping. Why, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. You need to remember that. So dial right now, 888-578-8791. Get the tapes, keep that armor on, and we'll see you right back here next week.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support. Exploring current global conditions along with the latest social trends, the Armor of God asks the question, what are the solutions to our broken world? Right here every week, new perspectives are presented for your consideration by our commentators. The Armor of God challenges you to be vigilant in your outlook and understanding of this world in these tumultuous times. Don't miss this week's program.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our